You're listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Running Thursday, July 11th through Sunday, July 14th at picturesque Birds Hill Park, Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years. I'm Michael Elves, host of Thank God It's Free Range, and this episode spotlights Elisabeth. Elisabeth, an Inuk singer-songwriter originally from a remote village in Nunavik, has earned acclaim singing in her indigenous Inuktitut. Her 2018 album, The Ballad of the Runaway Girl, was shortlisted for the Polaris Music Prize, and her most recent record, Inuktitut, is a reworking of 10 classic rock and pop songs. Elisabeth performs on Friday, July 12th on the main stage at 6 p.m. For a full lineup, a complete list of set times, to purchase tickets, and for more information on the Winnipeg Folk Festival, visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca. All right, well, coming to the Winnipeg Folk Festival, Elisabeth, who joins me on the program, welcome.
Nakormik, thank you so much.
So your latest project is a bunch of covers of pop songs in the Inuk language. And I'm curious, like, did you have much exposure to music in your own language growing up? Like, was there a lot of Inuktitut song?
There was actually a lot, in a sense, where I'm from a small town. It's a big town of 1,400 now in Saluit, Nunavik. But back then when I was a kid, you know, we had just moved to the settlements before that, you know, like I always say, in the 60s, we had just moved to a new way of life. You know, we were nomads. We were, of course, the town where we live now is a place where, you know, we would often go, because it's, you know, when I say nomad, we're semi-nomads, because we go to the same places in the winter. In the summer, we go to a different place, but all in the same area. So yeah, when the 60s arrived, comes also, you know, kids being sent to federal school, and when they were done with federal school as kids in the community, we were sent off to Churchill, Manitoba, and there it's a residential school for where a lot of Inuit from the Arctic, from all over northern Canada, would go, and this is where a lot of bands were formed, rock and roll bands like my uncle's band, Sugluk, or William Taguna's Harpoon, to Willie Thrasher, to, you know, then there, of course there's Willie Mitchell, and all those guys were sent somewhere else. But yeah, this is where a lot of music, and my family was very musical. They've always been, apparently, even in the 50s, there is a songwriter in the late 50s, my uncle's young uncle, that we heard about, who would write songs that are maybe close to, you know, what Bob Dylan was doing then, and then my uncle. So yeah, I was very exposed to my hometown's local musician. So yeah, I was exposed to Inuktitut music, but also to rock and roll music that was inspired by Led Zeppelin, and you know, so this album is very much close to what I would listen to as a kid, of course. But yeah, a lot of
So you're grounding in Iñuktitut language and music was there. It wasn't something like a hole you were trying to fill by kind of returning to these songs and thinking, I hadn't heard something like this when I was growing up.
I think it was very, very much something that was already, it was already in my brain, you know, when I was translating these songs that are, I realized it wasn't just a translation job at making something cute, a dancing memory to something close to me, just because it's cute or it's a cool, I realized after 2-3 translations, there was a lot of emotions that would emerge, and then I would be confronted by trying to understand why am I crying to a, you know, to a I don't know, Heart of Glass or a Chiquitita or a Super Trooper, and I would get these huge emotions and cry, and I realized what is going on. I mean, and I realized it was very related to memories that are maybe in the body, in the memory in my body, not just in my memory in my head, but it's really something, it became very personal. And I realized, wow, I miss home, first of all, I miss the people, and I was slowly finding my way back to my childhood and to the memories, not just to me, but to people around me. So I realized there's a connection to be made, and my job was not just simple translation job, but an actual going back to memories and to places where sometimes it hurt, because, you know, in a very short time as nomads, we've gone through a lot of trauma, and to realize why were people sad. And I realized, oh, this is what was going on during those times where we were dancing to Heart of Glass. There was a lot going on. So I realized I needed to go visit those spaces, to those places. And I just realized it was very, yeah, there was a lot of mood aside from dancey song to I Want to Break Free. It's really close to my, you know, my cousins, especially my cousin Dayara, who committed suicide, who was the result of what was really going on then, you know. So it's each song has a story. Wild Horse is about my friend who's just really sad. I remember him listening to this song, and I realized, oh, my friend was sad, and I knew he was sad, but I couldn't really understand. But, you know, I'd say almost 30 years later, I realized, oh, this is what was going on. So I needed to go to those places to make maybe also peace with myself, and maybe peace with my family, maybe peace with what was so unfair, you know. Suicide rates is huge, and I realized these songs were really, they were there for us when we needed to mourn, when we needed just to feel our emotions, because it wasn't always easy.
It sounds like maybe you had more than just a connection to a song, you had a connection to a person to that song.
Exactly. Each song, if I was to really feel it and deliver it, like, you know, making a cover album is a very scary thing if you want to be taken seriously or you want to take yourself seriously. But at the beginning, it wasn't like that. I just wanted to make a simple little cover album where I'm going to release it on my own. It's just like a secret in between album, right? And I realized, oh, this is going somewhere a lot deeper. And it's a big lesson for me. This is probably teaching me to always see music even more like this. It's every song has to tell a story for me anyway, in order to deliver it. I'm not a great musician. I'm not able to have a lot of tools to, when I write songs, to try all kinds of sounds. My thrill, I guess, is to really find a way to feel very connected with myself through my voice and deliver something that is gonna move people. And I think it was a challenge, of course, you know, when these songs are not mine, but to make them mine is also to kind of, in a way, to say thank you to Robert Plant, to Jimmy Page, to Metallica, to Cyndi Lauper, through these songs, to say thank you for having allowed us a place where we could just, you know, feel safe in the song. And, you know, these are, like I said, I stole songs from white people, and I feel like they gave us a lot. They gave a lot of joy to my family, to my uncles, to my cousins, when we needed that joy, and when we needed to feel accepted, loved, and not judged, and not, you know, being told to change, you know. So these were our friends during hard times. So it was a way for me to kind of say thank you in a way to these artists, and translating them was a way for me to just make these songs mine, because, you know, every song we write are no longer ours. They usually belong to everybody once we release them. So, yeah. And Joe Grass was a huge, huge key player in this, especially when I was crying a lot at the first sessions, because I realized I was still feeling that those emotions, and I was like, okay, this is how we have to deliver it. So the sensitive ear and the heart of Joe, also wanting to play well and to deliver something real, it was such a beautiful experience. Yeah.
You'd mentioned about, you know, having memories that were in your body and you didn't necessarily remember them so much as you felt them. I heard that some of this project, or this part of this inspiration for this project, came about because you took up running during the pandemic.
Yes, I did. Yes.
So was it while you were running, you were like looking for music to listen to, or like remembering songs?
Yeah. Well, I have a friend, Jean-François. He's actually a programmer for Oceaga, and I realized we have a lot in common. We're about the same age, and I was like, oh, these are like, it's just a nice playlist that he had, and I was like, I'll listen to it, I'll go running. And then I realized, oh, these were easy places to go to, of course, because there are childhood or teenage songs. And I realized, this is where I need to be right now. It's easy, it's emotional, and somehow when you're running, you're alone during the pandemic, you know, I have three kids, and it was a lot of stress, where we were like, okay, what are we gonna do, what's going on, and a lot of people in the house all of a sudden. So I would just, and I think when you're running, you're doing something physical, and you're alone for a few minutes, and you listen to a song, all of a sudden Super Trooper, that you would listen to in your living room for fun when you're alone, all of a sudden it becomes like, it becomes very personal. And I realized, why am I crying to ABBA? And I realized my cousins were going through stuff that weren't easy, you know? And I always thought it was nice memories until I realized what was also going on. What do I need to see, you know? So a lot of this happened, and I realized I can't go back running to listening to these other stuff. And then I would be like, oh, okay. And now I would go back home crying to Wild Horses. And then my boyfriend would be like, oh, what happened? Okay, which song is it now? What's going on? And so it became this like therapy, and it was so freeing, but scary at the same time. I was like, I don't want to have to try to explain what's going on, but in a way I have to open up even more. And so up to the release of the album, everything became like sort of exposing myself, exposing my family, exposing the North, and accepting that I need to have that to feel free to talk about certain things, you know. And So, and then there's a book that I wanted to release that is telling the story of each song. So yeah, there's a little Inuktitut booklet that's also available because I just felt like I needed to go further because it's the window. I think there's so much misunderstanding about the North, you know, and people forget we were also going through stuff during these songs, and these songs also played in our radios. You know, these are big hit songs, right? That would play on the radio, and I, of course, I would have loved to choose more like lefty stuff that is a little bit less known. And I realized I was trying to do that actually with Joe. I would bring up something a little bit, you know, cooler in a way that's like lefty, and then I would try to sing it and it didn't do much. And Joe was like, well, it's okay to do I Want to Break Free. And I'm like, yeah, but it's such a big hit song. And I'm like, it's so easy. It feels so easy, right? Go doing what Wish You Were Here. Like everybody played that, everybody heard that. And he was like, well, because they are doing something, they are bringing you to a memory. And I realized, yeah, it's that's what it is. So let's just choose the songs that go straight to my heart. Yeah.
Right. So in terms of you're talking about the act of translation and, you know, maybe multiple passes at a song, is there, were there any like limitations in terms of like words that were in the English language that were in the Inuktitut language or vice versa that presented a problem?
In a way, but I think I've experimented a little bit enough in my language writing songs that you can always find a twist. Sometimes there's too many words as to in my language we tend to simplify. It's the way our language is. It's the way we view. We don't need to go in deep little details. There's little details, of course, in certain important things about, you know, the environment, the nature that we need in order for a great hunter to know what's out there, what's good to know. But in terms of the way we express, we tend to be a little bit less is more, you know.
Right.
So it was easier to translate. And it's funny because I always say it's like these songs were already registered in my brain as if I've listened to them as a kid, and it's like they were already pre-translated, you know, because they really mean something. So since I chose the songs that really are very meaningful and close to my heart, I think it just made it so much easier to translate. And I always say too, when a great song is a great song, well, it's so well written, it's so much easier. Yeah, even you know, Wish You Were Here and Going to California by Led Zeppelin, these are very imaginary kind of like, these guys were on something, you know, and I'm like, whoa, how do you translate that? Well, they just work very well because it's almost like being in the wild nature and seeing things, and they really do, you know, psychedelic images work really well in the north, in the northern scenery. I find that's what a lot of stuff like that I learned. Yeah.
So the arrangements of these songs, like you said, the melodies are already kind of like you have a sense memory of like hearing them in your head and then working on the translation. But in terms of like putting the Elisa P spin on them, is that you and Joe together, or did you have a really strong sense of?
Oh my goodness. Yeah, Joe and I together all the time. I mean, I would say, okay, Joe, I have an idea for this. And he said, well, go for a run and listen to it. And I said, yeah, I'm not too sure. I mean, I wish you were here. It's maybe s there's a spark somewhere. I'm not too sure. And it's like, he'd like, oh, the guitar song. And I'd be like, well, Joe, you won't have to play the guitar. I mean, this is the greatest guitarist in the world. And I'm like, for me, Joe, anyway. And then all of a sudden, with, you know, Pink Floyd song, where there's a guitar involved, it's like, dum, 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 dum. It's like, and then, well, maybe you could play the banjo. And he's like, you know what? Listen to it again. If it's doing something, if it makes you cry, then we will know. And I'm like, okay, I'll go listen to it again. And all of a sudden I said, oh, okay. I'm bawling on the street, and I'm like, what's going on? Oh yeah, it's a song we'd listen to as we were, cousin committed suicide again, So I realized, oh, this is where, I would go bring a few songs to Joe, and I'm like, these I think do mean something, and then he'd be like, okay, well, if we're able to play it, just guitar voice, let's test it, let's feel it, and it's doing something, we'll know. So we'd record a little demo quickly, and then we'd know a song was really working when I would, all of a sudden be hit by. And Joe is becoming really good at hearing me and having an idea, and we'd kind of pretty much know, okay, this one is gonna work, this is doable, and then we'd start arrangements together. Joe would think about like how he's gonna bring that mood. I mean, doing Heart of Glass in Inuktitut and rearranging it, so it's a new, it's really in my body. I think it really takes someone I trust for sure, and Joe was very alert to everything, but yet not overly, how do you say, not overly explaining or, verbal, just feeling with me. And I think that was the key. So that was a really great experience to go through, exploration in that way. That was very organic.
So if he's asking you to kind of go to a place that you're tapped into that emotion, have you reached a point with performing the songs that you don't necessarily have to feel the depth of those feelings at this point?
I think the last two albums working with Joe Grass, because he did the arrangements and produced the Ballad of the Runaway Girl, it's been a very big learning experience. Anyway, as a singer, as a musician, as a composer, as a singer-songwriter, as a performer, because each song that I normally that I record in the album, I already see how I want to feel them physically. So it's always very close to when I'm recording them and when I'm playing them. It's like they go together in a way.
Well, at
That's
least with
why I try not to, I guess, no, try not to cheat so much to over producing, because then I'm gonna get lost, and then also recording in a way that's very live, So Joe and I have been very good that way, I think, is to really try to get that emotion that feels real live. So we usually try to record and choose the songs that feel very together, not just redo all the vocals separately, and so it's become a real it's become important for me to really be connected, so I can also really feel them when it's live. And that's what I have. I get really emotional at times, depending on the crowd, depending on the sound and the connection with the musicians. Sometimes I tears just have to roll down live. Yeah, it's something.
for sure. Well, Lisa, before I let you go, I want to get you to pick a song off of the most recent record that we can play for folks. And if you want to tell me why or give me an anecdote about it, I'd love to hear that.
Oh my goodness, that's not easy to
This
do,
is the hardest question for every artist, is this record.
Oh my. Well, I would love, I think it's Wild Horses, Himmiyot. I think it'd be really lovely because it shows just how this song is towards the end of the album, where we invited our friend Leif Ullbeck to just come and play the piano for us, with us. It's pretty much live version. We did maybe two, three together tracks of just putting it together and then recording it. So this one just felt very real in emotion. So at the end, you may not hear it, but I hear myself. I hear the tears that because my voice goes a little bit small and I'm trying to hold from not crying. I think that's a really beautiful, it's kind of maybe slow, mellow for you guys, but I'm hoping you're going to enjoy this song. Yeah.
All right, we'll give that one a listen. Elisa P, thank you for taking some time and safe travels. Really looking forward to seeing you at Winnipeg Folk Fest.
We're so excited finally to be at Winnipeg Folk Fest. It's a real dream coming true. So, takuti la kaguna kormi. Thank you so much.
I'm Michael Ells, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting Elisa P. We'll be performing on Friday, July 12th at 6 p.m. at the main stage at Winnipeg Folk Festival. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com. And be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event running July 11th through 14th at Birds Hill Park. Yeah.